Morning. Can you hear me? Yeah? All right. Well, we got one to hear me. All right. Sweet. That's all we need. All right. Happy 4th of July. All right. Good deal. We're slowly waking up. All right. That song was awesome. Great service so far. I hope not ruin it. All right. Who knows? God is good. Last week was awesome for our church. We got to dedicate Charlie, which is such a cool thing. I love being a part of those. We also took in a new member. God is doing some work in our community. This last week, our teens went to camp in Camp Table Rock in Missouri. We took, how many did we take, 12? Yeah, I know some of them here. If you went to camp, stand. Even our adults, stand. All right? Because that's awesome. That, you know, camp for me, I've been in youth ministry for 20 years until I stepped out, and camp's one of those mountaintop experiences that's, as a youth pastor and as somebody that's planning the camp, you try to manufacture it, but reality is you're praying that that experience happens, and you're praying for the Spirit to show up. And what's awesome is, I would say 90% of the time that I've ever been at camp, that Holy Spirit works. And there, he's showing up, and lives get changed. And this last camp, seven teens, I believe, committed their life to Christ and had them and baptized while they were at camp. And that's such an awesome thing. That is such an awesome thing. They might not be from our church, but they are part of our church. And I will tell you, my hope is every time they come back from camp, from that mountaintop experience that they had, that our church gets to taste that, gets to hear that, gets to know that. I've been part of a church before where all of a sudden the teens were leading in worship. It didn't mean that they were up on stage, but they were engaged with God. And the whole rest of the church stood back and kind of watched the first Sunday, and then the second Sunday. And by the third Sunday, they realized this isn't just a mountaintop experience that they had. This was a life ever-changing experience that they had. And the whole church from that point on was going, all right, I want what they have. Not just their youth, not just their energy. I want that relationship that they have with God, that they came recklessly up and raised their hands and worshiped God. Didn't care about anybody else. Didn't care about their peers, the adults. They wanted to dance before God. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of a church that's excited to worship God. All right, and I hope you too. I hope that there is days that you walk in here and you're ready to go, okay, it doesn't matter what we sing, it doesn't matter what is being said, I just want to be in your presence, God. I want to be overwhelmed by you. I want you to know how much I love you, all right? Like, that's what camp is, the spark for me. So it's so important. So big things are happening in our church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've provided. Lord, I pray that we sit here and we worshiped with you. Lord, may we understand we sit and we stand in these moments of an audience of one. That you are all that matters. That we find ourselves in your presence, and are overwhelmed by hope, grace, love, maybe even conviction, that we want to be moved this morning. That we want to be in your presence even when we leave from this place. Lord, I pray right now, we invite you in our hearts to start doing the work that's eternal. Be with us. Amen. So happy 4th. You know, I've already heard somebody say happy Freedom Day, happy Independence Day. And we're kind of on our third week of fan or follower, if you've been following along. But I kind of just rolled it right into today's message of freedom in Christ. All right? And I want to talk about freedom really quick. What is true freedom? And one of the cool things about freedom is, within our context, is even with our relationship with God, we have the freedom to choose, right? We have the freedom to choose if we have a relationship with God. We have a freedom to choose. If we don't have a relationship with God, God doesn't come over and lord over us and say, choose me or I smite you right now. Like, it doesn't happen. Luckily, right? And God allows us to make mistakes. He allows us at times to say, yes, God, and then right in the next breath, no, God. And that's a true relationship that we're allowed to have with God. That is the freedom that he gives us because he wants a sincere relationship with us, right? That's awesome. That's awesome. And we live in a country where freedom is given. We didn't have to earn it. Actually, you know, people have died for that freedom. People have laid a way for us to be where we're at right now so we can have this opportunity sitting here to worship. That's freedom. But I want to make a different thought process of freedom today. All right? I want you to think about this in terms of this verse. You find this in John 8, 34 through 38. All right, and I'm going to start a little bit before that, see if I can read through this without messing it up. All right, John 8, 31 is where I'm going to start. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's the first free, all right? They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? All right, so their concept of free is like right here, right now, in this presence, in my flesh, in this, I've never had bounds on me. Nobody ruled or reigned over me. And this was Jesus' response. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me. Because you have no room in my word, I'm telling you what you have seen in the Father's presence. And you are doing what you have heard from your father. All right. So what we have going on there is a distinction of two things. All right. I just said we have the freedom to be able to choose. But in reality, we are slaves to either sin or Jesus Christ. That's the reality. We either choose God or we don't, and if we choose God, that means we submit our lives to Jesus, which is a very hard thing for us to understand. I saw a statistic, and I want to say it's about 65% of 18 to 42-year-olds. It's a really weird statistic of age gap there, but they did a statistic of them. They did a poll of that age gap. And they said that 65% of them have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. And so they were like, wow, that's amazing, right? That's a really strong statistic. And then they started following up with some questions. And they started asking them, so do you follow Jesus Christ in this way? And in this way? And in this way? And in this way? And they came to a conclusion that only about 5% of that 65% follow the words of Jesus Christ. So what that statistic is showing is that people say they're followers. So I want to give you my own version of what's going on here, all right? I call it the going to the gym blizzard diet, all right? Somebody laugh at that? Yeah, right? It doesn't really go hand in hand, right? So some of the things in my mind and what's going on in my life right now is my son is trying out for football, and he has to work out every morning right now, and he's already woke up one day and said, I'm going to get more swole than you, and I plan on beating you up, Dad. I'm like, okay, all right, let's see. We'll see how this goes, right? Yeah, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he did yesterday say, I'm going to get tougher than you, and I can't wait to take you down. Right? Is that what you basically said to me? So, all right. All right. So, if you don't see my son next week, we're good. All right. All right. He's all right. All right. But I started thinking about through this process that I need to go to a gym, and I need to get more fit. I was walking and just hiking, and about a mile into the hike, whew, I was doing one of these. All right. Hold on. And about 5 minutes later, I was ready to walk again. And I thought, oh, that's not good. That's not good. COVID hit me bad. I'm ready to get back in the gym. But so I've been looking for gyms, and I decided, you know, what if I join this gym, and I'm going to start going there, and I have a bag ready, and I have my clothes, and I'll go there before work, and yeah. I will, you know, get ready for work afterwards, and I have my routine down, and yeah, I'm excited to start this process. And the process also includes going and getting a blizzard right before I laugh at that, right? Can you imagine me? I park in the parking lot, I open my back door to grab my bag, and then I close that, and I reach back in, and I'm grabbing my last thing. No, it's not my water, it's my blizzard, and I walk in. Right, and I have my bag, and I go put that in the locker, and then I get on the treadmill. Usually the treadmill is the first thing I do, and I put my blizzard right there, and I start running, right? And then I'll take my breaks every 30 seconds, you know? And then I'll take, all right, let's eat this, right? And then put it back. I think that's the best way to work out, right? There's some incentive. I'm working off what I just put in, right? I feel good about this. It seems crazy to do that, doesn't it? Couldn't you imagine? And there's part of me that wants to go to a gym and do this. Like, and people are crazy now. They do crazy things at gyms. But can you imagine just sitting there and watching somebody thinking that they're going to get ahead of the game while they keep taking steps backwards? Like, in my dream of all dreams, I want the washboard abs. I want to be fit. I don't want my son to ever beat me up. Right? And if I want to get to that point, taking a blizzard to the gym is counterintuitive. It's not smart. It won't work. In fact, what will probably end up happening is I'll go in the gym, and the gym that I'm going to join has these nice little tables in the front, and you sit down, and you can, I don't know, talk to other people at the gym, I guess. That's sweaty and gross. I don't know what you do there, but I'm going to eat my blizzard there. And I'm going to look at people while they work out, and I'm going to judge their technique. Man, not getting those biceps really good. That guy's forgot leg day. It doesn't make sense. But somehow we have made this make sense with our walk with Christ. Where we've said, yes, I will follow you. But the moment that we walk out of that conversation, nothing has changed. Your life is still the same as the day that you first had that encounter with Christ. See, nobody's laughing here because this is so important. And it's so real that we have a problem within our church, not just our church here, but in church in general, that we have a lot of voices that say yes, but we have a lot of souls that are going the far, far away from. To be truly committed means saying, I will submit my life to you. You know, Jesus talks about this in Matthew. If you look at Matthew, really quick, Matthew 6, he says this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. These are Jesus' words on the mount, his Sermon on the Mount. These are just really basic, but what he's saying is you cannot serve two masters. But we try really hard to do that. I think we live in that where I'm a fan of Jesus, and I will tell people about Jesus, yeah, he's good, but when we get to the really deep heart of who I am, I can't be really committed to what he wants of me. He wants everything of you. Every area in your life, he wants you to say yes to him. Just as ridiculous as it is for me to have a blizzard at the gym, it is for me to say yes to Jesus and to go out and do something totally against my relationship with him. You know, I can start spitting off all the things in which we find ourselves in, where I can say yes to Jesus and then the next moment I go cheat my taxes. Just this one time. I can say yes to Jesus, and then tomorrow at work, I can start the be a part of the gossip train. You see, I understand we have our faults. We have our failures. I get it. And God's grace is sufficient. I believe that. But his grace is sufficient enough to change who I am too. And I have to believe that. Can you imagine within any kind of relationship that you have that you're truly committed to and you say it and you say, I do. I've done this before, right? I've talked about marriage and it's such a correlation between us and God. And if I have that commitment and I make these vows in the next moment, in the next actions, I don't follow any of them, it doesn't make sense. I just stood in front of everybody in one of the most intense services of my life. I remember it. I was sweating. And it was hot, but I was also nervous. I'm sitting there looking in my fiance's eyes and looking in my future wife's eyes and saying these vows that she wrote for me. And I meant it. I mean, at that moment, I even got down on the altar with her and we prayed. So God could be in the center of our marriage. In the moments that I said yes, let's look in the future. That first year is a tough year of marriage, is it not? I'm working. I come home. I worked at a Sears Automotive, and I was greasy and gross, and I was not ready to just go, okay, let's go clean up. I was ready to sit down on our furniture and grease it up, and I didn't care. I was tired. And my wife was like, you're ruining everything. And I was not patient, and I was not kind, and I was not gentle in my response. Did I live by my vows in that moment? Serious. And I tell you today, we sit here because of the grace of God. And there was no way in this relationship, from my point of view and from her point of view, that we were ever going to give up on it. We love each other as close as we can unconditionally. What's cool is God loves you unconditionally. He wants you to know how much he loves you, so he sent his son to die on a cross for you. So all those things that we break, all the vows that we can never live up to, all the things that we could not live up to any kind of standard, right? Here's the freedom. He dies for them. He dies for them. So now we got a choice. Do I either commit myself to be a slave to sin, or do I commit myself to be a servant of God? Not a fan. A servant. And a servant watches how they speak. A servant watches what goes in his heart. A servant watches what comes into his mind and his eyes. Go read the rest of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. You have Jesus telling you how to live. It takes a commitment that is beyond our heart capability. And we should be praising God for that every day. But I think we need to start evaluating what the blizzards are of our spiritual walk that we hold on to. I think some of us don't even understand or see or are aware of the things that we walk in with our relationship with God and go, okay, he should be good with this. And he's going, I don't want that to be a part of your life because it's holding you down. You're becoming a slave to that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to ruin you. It's going to mess you up, and it's causing a void between me and you. Some of us need to realize what that blizzard is. I think some of us might even already know what is stealing our freedom. And it's so hard because it's been an on-again and off-again relationship with whatever that causes that void between us and God. And there have probably been moments that I just give up. I don't want to fight the fight anymore, and I just want to say, okay, I'll just give up, and hopefully I can just say yes to Jesus, and he's okay with me continuing doing this. And he's not. And it's not because he's this evil parent ready to strike you down. He's not, because he loves you. He loves you and wants you to have the best. He wants you to have this relationship that's untethered by sin. As a follower, it means setting down the things that cause hurdles and obstacles of a relationship between me and God, and trusting that he can handle it. As a follower, it means I don't do this alone. And the things that I understand are that I'm putting as obstacles, I go, hey, listen, help me with this. Church, this is an area that we need to step up at. Church, this is an area in which, you know, at camp I saw all the time teens rush down and love each other, and it doesn't even matter how that day went with each other. I saw relationships ruined on the kickball field and regained in the moment at the altar. That same kid that, like, hit somebody sat over and prayed for that somebody. Think about the grudges that we hold. What hinders us as a church is like a blizzard to Jesus going, why are you bringing this in? It just doesn't make sense. Do you love me? Do you want me? Are you ready to say yes to me? Then let it go. Let me be sufficient enough for you. Let me teach you how to love the unlovable. I will tell you, I've had to be taught how to love the unlovable. There's plenty of teens that are unlovable. There's plenty of adults that are unlovable. But through Christ, anything is possible through Christ. And let me tell you, that's honest and that's true. But you have to believe it. And by believing, it's not just saying, I believe it, and it's with words. It's with actions. It has to be lived out. What steals your freedom? I think this week, my hope for you is that this question is revealed. That you understand what hinders your relationship with God. My prayer for you this week is that you ask God plainly, that you sit in your car quietly and wait for an answer. That in your prayer time that you maybe be quiet and allow God to work and reveal the areas in your life that needs to change. You see, I want to be a stronger Christian, but that doesn't mean it's any of my efforts. What it means is I have to draw closer to God. And in doing so, sometimes that means I need to stop doing some other things that hinder that. I need to start doing some things that promote it. But those two don't really coexist very healthy. Again, if I go to a gym with a blizzard and I get on a machine, okay, I'll do 5 pounds and eat. It doesn't make sense. If I continue to do the things that separate me between God and Him and think everything's going to be okay, something's missing in the connection here. What steals your freedom? What enables you to truly be committed to Jesus Christ? To be truly free is to submit your life to Jesus. In John, Jesus made it pretty simple. He was talking to Thomas. And Thomas asked him, you know, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? This is John 14. And Jesus answers this. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. It's really hard to know Jesus when we don't follow him. It's really hard to sustain a relationship with Christ when we continue to put other things in front of it. To be truly free is to be without sin. And to without sin means we are truly committed to Jesus Christ. Let me say it one more time. To be truly free is to be without sin. And to be without sin, we need to be committed to a relationship with Jesus Christ. What steals that freedom? My hope is as you hear fireworks tonight, as you celebrate with your family tonight, as you sit in the quiet little moments, that God reveals to you what freedom really is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that today can be a new day, that we commit ourselves to a real relationship with you. I pray today can be one of those moments where we're revealed of what hinders us and that we have the courage to move it to the side or hand it over to you and say, okay, my life is yours. I commit to being a follower, not a fan. Lord, I pray that we as a church on this corner begin to experience a revival that we've never felt before. And it's because we've committed our own lives to a real relationship with you. And Lord, may we understand that we need your grace, that we need your patience, and Lord, we need each other to help in this relationship, this path. Lord, I pray that you put somebody in our life that can tell us the hard truth of where we are falling apart. We thank you, Lord, for your Son that you sent down to be one of us. To love on us. To show us what it means to be the image of you. To show us why we're created. Lord, we thank you that you're committed to us. I pray today that you teach us how to be committed to you. May we have hope this week that we draw closer to you. May we have hope this week that we are free from our lives of sin and a servant of you. I pray today that we're excited to be your follower. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Continue to work on our hearts. Continue to work on our minds. I pray today, when we're ready to say no to you, that we step back and allow your Spirit to work on us. I pray today that we say we have the courage, that we have the ability to say yes to you. Amen. Church, stand. And I send you in knowing that God is good, that God loves you. I send you to be free. Go have a good day.